Are you ready? He's back. He's better. And he's got something to say. You've tuned in for your daily inspiration. Welcome to the I've Got Something to Say podcast. Here's your host, David Mastin.
David Mastin.
What's going on, everybody? Thank you so much for joining me today. My name is David Mastin, and I will be your host for the I've Got Something to Say podcast. Again, thank you for joining me. I appreciate the support that everyone has gave over the past couple of weeks. And this has definitely been a journey, and a little weird. Just in this room talking to myself. I'm really glad that, that you all have been blessed by, the past couple of episodes that I've done. I am so glad that you, have, you know, been able to share it with people who may be struggling, whether it be with rejection, depression, or whatever, fear, doubts. I'm glad that it was able to help somebody. So, in saying that, today's episode is a little bit out of order. I originally have an episode that was going to come out this week, but I'm going to push it back to next week. Entitled I Don't Care. But I wanted to talk about just everything that has been going on, over the past couple of weeks. And again, FYI, if you hear a lawnmower in the background, my next door neighbor is cutting their grass. But I feel compelled to really just talk about my thoughts in regards to everything that has been going on for the past couple of weeks. And no, not related to COVID-19. With the recent killings of unarmed black men and women. First off, with a young lady who was shot and killed by police in her own apartment while she was asleep. The young man who was jogging in his own neighborhood and was shot by a white man at point blank range too. And that video scarred me, because when you watch it and you see another man's blood splatter, and it's not a movie, it's real life. That image can be painted in your brain for a long time, and it can really just play with your emotions and damage you. As a black man, in society, and then the recent killing of George Floyd by a white police officer. I'm in a weird space mentally, and hopefully it can make sense why I'm in this weird space. I have a 4-year-old son who is black. My son sees the world differently. My son really doesn't know hate. And it's amazing thing. It's amazing to see him and how he views life. Because his view of life is everybody is the same as me, right? You know, my son's name is David, just like mine. And I always call him either Little Dave or Dave. His view or his concept of his view and concept of hate goes no further than Thanos versus the Avengers, right? Like that's as far of he can get as far as violence. Not to say that he's not bad or he doesn't do wrong things or anything, but his concept on society is not the same. He hasn't experienced the things that I've experienced. He has not seen the things that I've seen, and he's not experienced the hate of somebody that is opposite of his skin color. My son can go and play with anybody and it doesn't faze him, right? He does not know the world and the society that I know, right? And it's amazing to look at it in his eyes. And when I look at raising him, I struggle with, as he gets older, trying to explain to him the hate of this world, the violence against unarmed black men, and the struggles that he will have because of his skin color. I'm in a weird space with that. And then on the other hand, I get angry, right? And I have this rage because I am an African American male. I'm not small. There's nothing little about me. And going to a grocery store, a police officer riding next to me, whether they mean evil or no evil. You start to, even at work, right? You question in your mind motives and integrity and whatever because of your experience in this world. And because of that experience, you question everybody that, and I mean, I'm going to be honest, you start to question everybody that's white. You know, even if they make a positive statement, man, you know, you don't know who this person is or whether they make a positive statement or not, right? You start to just have these bad thoughts and these bad ideas, right? And your heart goes out to the families that has to bury loved ones. You have these emotions if you have a son, a black son. You have these emotions if you are a male and you're black. You just, I don't know. I'm just in a very weird space mentally. And then there's this other part of me that grew up in the love of God and trying to love God and serve God, and you're betwixt because you want everybody to just love. You want everyone to love how Jesus loves, or how Jesus loved you, right? With all the chaos that you've caused in your own life and for some of us in the lives of others, and Jesus forgave us and loved us still, and that love and compassion is what helps us to do what's right on a regular basis. You want that to be the same love that everyone experiences. You don't want people to experience hate. And it's hard to not have that experience, or it's hard not to dish that experience or to reciprocate that feeling or emotion when it appears like it's always being given to you. So I was thinking today, and I wanted to talk about kind of how I felt and my thoughts about everything and where I was mentally. And to be 100% honest, you feel so angry. Well, I feel angry. I guess I can't really speak for anybody else. I'm angry. And I'm angry because when I think about somebody who lost their dad, somebody who lost their sister, their brother, somebody whose cousin, son, daughter, who died senselessly. You can't even explain to the family why their son or daughter had to die. Like if somebody died because of a heart attack and they were overweight, you get it. You know, the person wasn't eating right. They were overweight, whatever. It still doesn't make sense. It's still hard to deal with, but you can kind of explain that, you know, at least a doctor can explain to you the reasoning. As a minister, as a child of God, as a brother and sister in the Lord, I cannot explain why that had to happen. And I guess you can't explain death only to a certain extent anyway, but it's very hard to process. And even though it's difficult to process, and even though it's hard to understand, my prayer is that God still allows me and helps me to love. If you notice the process of hate, the process of bitterness, typically hate and bitterness creates an environment of more hate and bitterness. And it just keeps going. It never really stops. It's an endless cycle of hate, hate, bitter, bitter. And hating someone and being bitter against an action will always have to dig more graves, because it just gets worse and worse and worse. Most of the time, if you think about gang violence or drug violence, you killed, you know, somebody in my gang. Now my gang has to kill somebody in yours. And that action keeps going on and on and on. It never ends. Hate, when you are involved in hate and bitterness, it doesn't end. It just keeps going on and on and on. You are just in a cycle of hate, and it's understandable in a certain degree, especially when you think of historically African-American men and women, the abuse, the neglect, the manipulation that we've received over countless centuries. And you just see it, and it's an endless cycle. And so it's easy to bury yourself in hate and anger and bitterness. And that's why my prayer to the Lord is to help me to not hate. Help me not to dig graves of hate and bitterness. Because it doesn't really solve anything. It doesn't end. It doesn't end the cycle. It just makes it keep going. It just makes it carry on and on and on without any hope in sight. It doesn't solve anything. It just makes this world worse and worse and worse. I can remember I was a substitute teacher. And I substitute taught for, at the time, middle school kids. And there was a young man. And this young man would get so angry. He was such a smart guy. But he got angry so... This one particular day, he got so angry. That he took this young lady. She was... what, 5 feet? Took the girl, picked her up, and slammed her on the desk. The girl is screaming and hollering. And all you see in his eyes is hate and anger. Just this hate and anger just rolling through his body. And I remember the counselor pulling me over and she said to me, she said, Mr. Mastin, this young man, he's been through a lot. From the abuse that his father gave to his mother, the neglect that his mother gave to him. He's angry. He's angry. And you've just felt bad from both parties because the young lady didn't do anything to deserve the hate. And the young man didn't know how to release his anger the right way. And it built up to him to where it took this young man who is bright and intelligent and just made him angry, bitter, and hateful. And the cycle of hate that that man received, that that young man had received throughout his life, whether it was the abuse from his father to his mother, the neglect and bitterness towards the son, and then the anger and the violence that he dished towards the young woman, is just endless, endless, endless. Young woman goes, tells her father. Father wants to confront the, it's just endless. It just keeps going on and on and on. There's no stopping the cycle of hate if you do not interrupt it with love. There is no breaking up the circle of hate and bitterness if it is not intercepted, if it is not broken up with the light of love. What you are seeing today with the rioting are people who are hurting. They are upset. They are angry that their brothers and sisters keep dying by the hands of white men and women. They're upset, they're angry, they're mad, because no matter what they do, it just seems like this never ends. And to be honest, what do you say to them? I don't know. Because nothing that I say, nothing that you say, nothing that anyone says is going to just heal them automatically. Yes, a target got destroyed, but Target is not a human being. It is not a valued life. It is a materialistic building that was going to deteriorate anyway without the proper upkeep. But a man's life has been taken away, and we are upset. And though I'm angry, and though I'm confused, and though I am hurting, and though I'm emotionally distraught, and though I just sometimes just don't understand why, my hope is that God still helps me love. And the reason why I hope God helps me love is because it is the love of Jesus Christ that intercepted me from destroying myself. Taking the verbal abuse from bullies, or the verbal mistreatment of women, or the downward spiral that life can bring, the only thing that rescued me was the love of Jesus Christ. Being upset with society, being angry with how life was throwing me blows after blows, the only thing that rescued me was the love of Jesus Christ. And so the only hope that I have is that the love of Jesus penetrates the heart of men and turns us all around. And that we realize that the same blood that is pumping in my body is the same blood that pumps through my son's body. That is the same blood that pumps through, or that pumped through, George Floyd's body, is the same blood that was in that police officer as he was on his neck. That we are all one people. And that the God that died for all of us, the God that sent his only begotten son over 2,000 years ago, that allowed him to be crucified of men, who shed his blood that we might have eternal life and that we might experience his life. For God did not come, Jesus Christ did not come to kill, steal, or destroy, but he came that we might have a life and life more abundantly. It is only that love that can save us all, the true love, not the fake love, not the phony love, not the love that loves one race but not the other. That is not the love of Jesus Christ. There is no evangelical that can tell me that that police officer was executing the love of Jesus Christ. And if that evangelical has the nerve to say that, he is no Christian believer. Because there is no Christian believer that can believe that executing violence on a human being who is already handcuffed, who is already laying on the ground, that is shouting, "I can't breathe." There is no one that can justify that man's death. There is no one. But there is only one hope for us all. There's only one hope that can remain. is that the love of hate and the cycle of hate that is going throughout this world can be overshined by the love of Jesus Christ. To my brothers and sisters who are hearing us, who may hear me, who may have a son that needs to listen, or to whoever is out there, you have every right to be angry. You have every right to feel emotional. But don't allow this to make you hateful and bitter. Do not allow this to turn your heart into stone. Please, whatever you have left in your body, keep loving. Love is the only way we can combat this cycle. It's the only way to intersect this path of violence. It's only through love. No, I am not a theological major, and maybe I am not the most educated. But this one thing I do know. The Bible says, let love, in Romans 12, verse 9 and 10, the Bible says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, and honor, preferring one another. That verse wasn't meant for just blacks. It was meant for whites. It was meant for Mexican. It was meant for Hispanic. It was meant for everybody. Asian. Bless them that persecute you. Bless and not curse. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Verse 18 in Romans 12 reads, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Friends, family, there is only one answer to all of this, and that is love. And so while you deserve every right to be angry, while you should be angry, while you are emotional, the only way to turn this around is to love and do good. I just want to pray for everyone. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we need your help. We need it, God. We are hurting. We are angry. We are damaged. And Father, there is only one way this can all change. And that is that we receive more of your love in this world. Father, please, we ask in your name that you bless us, that you keep us safe, and that God, you do not let our hearts become evil. That God, you don't let our hearts become wicked. Help us to overcome evil by still being good. Take the heart of stone away and place your love in our hearts and show us how to get through this. Help us, Lord. Keep us. And we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Y'all have a good day. Try to find some way to enjoy your weekend. Enjoy your week. Hug your children. Hug your spouse. Make sure you tell them you love them. God bless y'all. Peace.
Make sure you subscribe to the I've Got Something to Say podcast and all your podcast streaming services.